Welcome to another edition of the True North Country Comics Podcast, dedicated to promote Canadian comic book creators and supporters. It's October 3rd, 2019. I'm John Swinimer. On this episode, I chat with Brenda Hickey and Troy Little about their Kickstarter project, Halls of the Turnip King. Brenda is a comic artist and writer who graduated from the Holland College Graphic Design. After working in layouts and animation, Brenda focused her efforts on comics, and her most well-known work is on IDW's My Little Pony Friendship is Magic series. Troy is known for his work on the Powerpuff Girls relaunch. As series writer, artist, and colorist, he adapted Hunter S. Thompson's Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas for IDW Top Shelf and was nominated for an Eisner, Harvey, and also won a Gold PubWest Book Design Award. His comic work also includes Judge Dredd, X-Files, Uncle Grandpa, The Amazing World of Gumball, Diablo House, Animal Noir, and most recently Rick and Morty vs. Dungeons & Dragons. Halls of the Turnip King is an original graphic novel with a fantasy comedy story that follows the blunders of an unexperienced and highly uninterested elf prince as he navigates the diplomatic role he will one day inherit. During our chat, Brenda and Troy talked about their project Halls of the Turnip King and how it came together. They discussed their publishing company, Pegamoose Press. Both Brenda and Troy discussed their future project as well. But before we go further, here are some of the current news about Canadian comic book creators and supporters. Barnes & Noble published their list of the best comics and graphic novels for October 2019. The list includes Wonder Woman Volume 1, The Just War by Carrie Nord and G. Willow Wilson. You can read more at barnesandnoble.com. The Guinness World Book of Records has awarded Todd McFarlane with the title of the longest-running, creator-owned superhero comic book series for Spawn. Todd said, "Any record that is based on longevity is made on the backs of dozens of people. As much as I am proud to be receiving this award, I gratefully accept it on behalf of all those who helped me for the past 27 years on this journey." You can read more at imagecomics.com. Newsarama recently interviewed Ed Brisson about the new Ghostwriter title. When asked about how this project came together, Ed said, "I caught wind that Marvel was looking to do a Ghostwriter book, and so I snooped around to find out who was editing it, Chris Robinson, and began bugging him nonstop to let me write it. Coming into it, Chris has a direction that he saw for the book, and had a near opposite take. One involved Ketch, the other Blaze. But when we sat back and really looked at what each was thinking, we realized that the two ideas actually complemented one another, and, with a little finessing, combined into one much larger story." You can read more at newsarama.com. CBR.com published an interview with Jim Zub about how the Conan the Barbarian winds up fighting alongside Marvel characters Solomon Kane and Dark Agnes. Jim explained, "Conan was one of my favorite characters as I grew up reading sword and sorcery novels. But I did dip my toe into other Robert E. Howard stories as well, including both Agnes de Chancelon and Solomon Kane. They may not be as well known as a Savage Cimmerian, but they're still classics of the genre in their own way." You can read more at CBR.com. And now, here's my chat with Brenda Hickey and Troy Little about their Kickstarter for Halls of the Turnip King.
My understanding is you've got a new Kickstarter going on. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about what it is.
Yeah, we got a Kickstarter. It's through our printing press, our publishing imprint called Pegamoose Press. And it's the book's called Halls of the Turnip King. So this is our first book we're doing through this imprint. And it's a graphic novel I've been working on myself for the past, I don't know, 7 years plus.
Because it's been a while.
It's been a back burner project as the ponies and raising a family and Ward's Valley and everything else kind of took precedent. So now I've finally come to a point in my life and in my career where I can try to get it to a graphic novel form the way it was intended, because I'd been publishing it as individual issues over the past few years just to give myself little goalposts in the story to make sure I didn't give up on it entirely. So yeah, the Kickstarter is running for the month of October, and the book is about, you know, an unexperienced elf prince whose dad sends him off on a mission to the dwarven mines, where there's a bit of a culture clash and chaos ensues as he's trying to navigate the diplomatic world. The elf prince is trying to navigate the diplomatic world. So it's definitely a comedy. It's very fantasy themed with the elves and the dwarves. So if you're a fan of like Lord of the Rings or Legend of Zelda, that sort of thing, and you got a wacky sense of humor like mine that developed during the 90s with 90s anime and like
Looney Tunes
slapstick, then yeah, that could be a book you're interested in.
Cool. Now, you mentioned a little bit about some of the inspiration, but I'm wondering what prompted you at the very beginning to start this project and have it come to fruition now?
Well, the very first ideas I got with these characters probably came in high school when I did a little doodle of an elf who just looked like he was freaking out. So I thought that was really funny. I was really starting to get into the Zelda franchise at the time, and it was kind of like, oh, it's really funny that Link will just kind of do anything for anyone without questions. So I thought my elf guy would be funny if he was very reluctant to do anything for anybody. It was kind of the opposite personality wise. So the story kind of came little by little over the years until one day I decided it would be fun to just blow off some steam and do some real wacky cartooning and crazy expressions with these characters. And I always thought the idea of a dwarf princess with the full beard was a good idea, so I put a character in the princess
interest.
Yeah, love interest in air quotes. Princess Donkar of the dwarven mines. So yeah, it's pretty silly, pretty fun.
It's got a heavy slant with a lot of Newfoundland slang in it.
Yeah,
the dwarves all speak in Newfie.
Well, really? mostly the king. Yeah, so
you have like sort of subtitles or anything like that along the way?
Nope, you gotta fend for yourself.
All right.
Phonetically sound it out and you'll eventually kind of get it.
Yeah. Laugh. Being on the East Coast, everybody kind of looks for that accent on the East Coast. But Newfoundland's definitely the most locked in, I guess, of all of them. So that's why he kind
it's
of goes.
It's very distinct kind
yeah.
of regional language. And so
yeah.
It's got a really great flavor and a sound to it that, you know, if you can try and translate into the comics, it's pretty funny to read.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, being a Newfoundlander, I understand it completely.
It's definitely fun.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. We're keeping it real out here in the East Coast.
Yeah.
Well, that leads me to my next question. I mean, you both have your own careers. They're both well-established, very successful. Why did you decide to collaborate on this at this time? Did you see that there was an opportunity to work together and make it happen? Or how did that work out?
Well, both Brenda and I have been actually working on a project, like she said, for about 7 years. I've been working on a third and final Ingorn Appian series. I was running as a webcomic. And it's pretty much done. And so we both had these two projects that were just near completion. And about 7 years ago, there really wasn't such a thing as crowdsourcing and crowdfunding the way it is now. So seeing a lot of successes in that field right now, we thought, well, you know, it seems to be a good kind of thing to take indie comics into that realm. And for us, you know, it cuts out the middleman, so to speak. We just get to take our ideas straight to the people who would be interested in our weird kind of sensibilities. We both like comedy and, you know, Looney Tunes slapstick sort of ridiculous Monty Python humor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes that's a bit of a hard sell when their market's looking in other places. So we thought we'd just skip what the market's looking for and find an audience and build our own audience. And Kickstarter seems to be a good way to go with that. So we thought we'd form our own little imprint, Pig and Moose Press.
Combine our forces together, because we're like, if we do it separate, that makes no sense. So
yeah, so we teamed up.
Yep.
And we thought we'd launch with Brenda's book, because I'm in the middle of working on Rick and Morty right now. So get her out the door first, and our pilot book, and then mine will be coming out probably in the spring.
Ah, so Pegamoose will continue on as a publishing house, I guess you could say.
Yeah, we're hoping that in the future, once Turnip King's done and Ingorn Appian is done, we can continue to focus our creator-owned books through the imprint and see if we can just keep rolling along.
It's kind of a way you always wanted to do in comics, is just write and draw our own stories. Like, you know, I mean, like a lot of people. And now there's a method and means to do that. So, yeah, that was the idea, that if we can kind of get the ball rolling, start growing an audience that would be interested in what we have to offer, then maybe we can kind of build on that.
Mm.
Well, you've certainly created audiences for your own selves. I mean, you've got, as you said, Rick and Morty, and then Brenda, you've got the ponies going. I mean, gosh, you've certainly got a fan base out there, and any new product that comes along, I'm sure they'd be interested. That's for sure.
Yeah,
you hope so. I mean, the licensed stuff is a bit an easy sell. You've got a built-in market for that right away. So trying to get those people, you know, take a right turn and check out what we do on the side, you're not going to get everyone coming along, but hopefully you've got a few of the loyal people who like what you bring to comics.
Mm-hmm.
Now you mentioned the benefits of Kickstarter. I'm curious to know if you did at first shop it around to some publishers to see if they'd bite, or if you just thought, you know, without even crossing that phase, just do it on your own.
Well, Halls of the Turnip King, I think I pitched it to like 6 or 7 different places, and because it kind of falls in this weird, like, it's cartoony and it's, you know, like silly story, but then, you know, it's a bit skewed for teens, but not quite adult. It's really hard for people to market it. I was talking to an agent and he said, you know, it seems like a kid's book, but they're adults. So I don't think kids would want to read about adults. So I don't think it worked that way, but I did definitely try. I wanted to see if I could get that going first. And when it was fruitless, I'm like, well, you know, maybe somebody will still like it. So through the Kickstarter we go.
Sure. Well, I'm sure.
Yeah. It's for myself with Angora Napkin. I mean, I've got 2 books with IDW they published. And both those books were Eisner nominated, which is pretty awesome. So it seems the logical thing to take the next book of mine to them as well. But there's just an element of, I started out self-publishing, and I kind of always wanted to get back into it. So I've got the bug in, and I thought, well, I'll just take it and I'll put it kind of under my own power and see, you know, we're going to promote our own books better than any publisher would promote them. So why not just do it?
Well, I'm sure once this is successful, you can go back to those publishers and say, see, told you so. That's it.
Yeah.
So what's next? Certainly, I mean, I know you've been working on Halls of the Turnip King for some time and you put all the stories together. Do you think that there's more story to be told, or do you think this is it?
Well, Halls of the Turnip King, there's 2 more books in that universe that I have ideas for. So depending on how this Kickstarter goes and how the response to the book is overall, I will debate whether it's worth pursuing those titles. I've got some other ideas with new characters and new universes that I'd like to work on as well. And I've got I just got a new contract with Oni Publishing on a licensed project too, which I'm excited about. So kind of like something not so self-published Kickstarter-y, but yeah, something else exciting on the pipeline.
Yeah, really hopefully they'll announce it. New York Comic Con is coming up this weekend, so we can't say what it is yet, but hopefully they'll announce it this weekend.
Yeah. Hopefully so. Yeah, I look forward to promoting that when the time is right, letting people know, that's for sure.
Awesome. Thank you.
Sounds good. So maybe we could talk a little bit about your individual projects then. I know this is a great Kickstarter, but what else do you have going on in your lives? I mean, you talked about this Oni Press thing that's coming along. Mm-hmm. How are things going with Rick and Morty and perhaps the ponies?
Well, for now, I'm taking a little step away from the ponies.
Well, you just finished what? Spirit of the Forest?
Yeah, Spirit of the Forest miniseries. I wrapped that up probably mid this year. It was a 3-issue mini story. So yeah, it came out. Forget when the last one came out, because I get the comps at such different times. So I'm like, when did it?
It'll probably be collected soon.
Yeah, just trying to remember which month now, because my brain's been in 50 different places. But yeah, it was a mini series with the Cutie Mark Crusaders, and then after that, I was telling them I'd like to step away for a little bit. But if you need me for covers or anything in the meantime, I'm always open to it. So we'll see if I get to appear on Ponies again, which would be nice as a cover here and there. But
yeah, and I've started Rick and Morty versus Dungeons and Dragons Volume 2 called Painscape. So this is another collaboration with Jim Zub and myself. We did the first one last year, and that went kind of gangbusters. So it was pretty much just a given that we would do a sequel. And Jim, amazing as always, you know, knocks it out of the park with knowing his D&D stuff inside and out. The guy's like a natural 20 with this. And he's off to New York right now because he's also promoting not only this, but like the Rick and Morty Dungeons & Dragons game that we worked with Wizards of the Coast on. So it's been a lot of Rick and Morty for me lately in a lot of the Dungeons & Dragons universe, which has been pretty awesome because it's like the best Reese's Pieces in comics you can imagine. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I'm on issue 4 right now. I just started working that out. And if I do see Jim anytime soon, he owes me a beer or two because it's more or less Helm's Deep in a mall. You know, like it's the worst stuff you can give an artist to have to draw in a month. Grand scale war between demon hordes and LARPing mall people in the Rick and Morty universe. Anyway, it's so fun. It's so funny. Issue 1 came out, I think, maybe a week or two ago. Mm-hmm. And issue 2 will be out on the 16th of October.
And I guess that's what some people forget is that it's easy for a writer to come up with descriptions on a page, but it's, would you say, almost 10 times as challenging for an artist to make that the reality.
Well, he keeps apologizing to me, but it's honestly, it's so much fun. Like, he's given an artist, like, a playground of stuff to both figure out and then just to go nuts on. Like, how many times in comics do I get to draw, you know, a whole lot of dismembered aliens and monsters and stuff being hacked to pieces and blown up with magic spells? It's a dream come true kind of project. So, yeah, I can't really complain too much. I mostly just gently rib him because, and I'll send him these really complex pages I've drawn saying, see what you make me do.
And then Troy passes it on to the colorist Leo. Oh, and Leo's like, why? He does a really good job on the colors, though.
Yeah.
Like, Jim's, figuring out that chaos Troy draws.
Jim's our evil dungeon master, basically, and we're all pawns in his game.
There you go. Well, it sounds like you both have a lot on the go, a lot of projects, and it's sort of indicative, I guess, of the East Coast. There's tremendous talent out there, always something on the go. Jed McKay is out there, and Mike Feehan in Newfoundland. I tell you, it's just Ed Brisson's out there now, too.
Brisson moved all the way across Canada.
Yeah, we all saw them recently at DCAP, didn't we? Yeah, the Dartmouth Comic Arts Festival that Cal puts on. Cal from Strange Adventures in Halifax.
Yeah. We got a good little crew of artists and writers happening out here.
Yeah, it's quite significant, that's for sure. You guys are making a good name for Canada when you do your work, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Cool. Good. So for people who want to find out more about this Kickstarter for Halls of the Turnip King, where do you recommend they go online to find out about that project and others?
Oh, okay. I would say go to our website for pegamoosepress.com. Yeah. You can sign up for our newsletter. If you do that, you get a 13-page free download to preview the book. Mm-hmm. And there's links to the Kickstarter right from there as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So pegamoosepress.com is the URL.
Yep. Well, I guess I could talk about the other big Kickstarter project that I was part of, which was the Kevin Eastman project for Drawing Blood. I'm part with Kevin Eastman on that, doing the Radically Rearranged Run and Ragdolls series. So it's going to be we did a Kickstarter that last year. I did an issue with Kevin, and we ran a second Kickstarter earlier this year. I'm going to be doing a two-part one for that as soon as I'm done Rick and Morty.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm already booked up for the rest of the year working on Samurai Ninja Cats in their sushi restaurant.
Yeah, and wherever you get a spare minute, you got to get that Angkor napkin done.
Yeah, so it's a constant hustle here.
Yeah.
Now, this is Kevin Eastman of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Yeah, that guy.
So that's a question for me. Why would he go to Kickstarter and not get a publisher to work on, get the book supported? Oh,
he's a lot in the same kind of mentality as a lot of us are, is that this is just kind of his roots. And he wanted to kind of have that ownership and control of his characters again. So he had a story to tell with Drawing Blood, and the little side project of the Ragdolls are kind of tied together. Definitely something you should check out if you're not familiar with it there.
Ben Bishop's the main artist on those.
Ben Bishop.
Drawing Blood, anyway, that section of it. Ragdolls is Troy's.
Yeah, David Avalone and Kevin Eastman are writing it, and Ben's working on the main series.
Mm-hmm.
We're collaborating on some parts of the books where it has flashbacks. Kevin draws if there's hallucination sequences, and I draw them, and Ben does the main artwork. But it's mostly just me and Kevin working on the Ragdolls comic.
Sounds cool. Very good. Very good. Can we see you at any other shows? You mentioned DCAF. Anything else going on for this year, or you think you're looking forward to next year for new exhibits?
I'm actually set up right now. I'm going to be at Fayetteville, North Carolina on, where am I, the 18th or 19th of October, I think, for 2 or 3 days. Mm-hmm. And then we are heading off to
MCM in Birmingham in November.
In England.
Yes.
Wow, that's tremendous. Have you ever been there before?
No, this will be our first time in England, so we're very excited.
Yep, November in England. Hopefully it's not totally cold and freezing and wet.
It's not going to be worse than the east coast of Canada.
Yeah,
that's what I keep telling myself, right?
We're built for this.
They've already had snow out west in Calgary, so anything could happen.
Yeah,
we're built for this.
There you go. It sounds like you've got some great adventures ahead of you. So wish you all the best. That's tremendous. Good stuff.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks very much. Cool.
Thanks to Brenda and Troy for the chat. You can discover more about their Kickstarter project, Halls of the Turnip King, on Kickstarter.com. And Pegamoose Press is online at pegamoosepress.com. Brenda's on Twitter at @crazyairy, and Troy is on Twitter at Meanwhile Studios. And thanks to you for listening to the True North Country Comics podcast. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to and like this podcast on Apple Podcasts, and please leave a good rating. Also, check out the TrueNorthCountryComics.com website, and follow along on Twitter at True North Comics. Please send your feedback to info@TrueNorthCountryComics.com. Thanks again for listening. Come back soon for another episode. Bye for now. True North Country Comics podcast is copyright True North Country Comics, copyright 2019.